Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York, but today I'm broadcasting from downtown Los Angeles at the Millennium Biltmore Hotel. I fly home tomorrow, bright and early, returning to work after a week off, which has been really lovely. Had an astrology conference last weekend and then spent the week roaming California. And then this weekend, my friend's son got married. Matthew married Allison, the beautiful, and was having a wonderful party down here at Cafe Pinot in downtown LA. It was beautiful, under the stars, with Venus rising, and lovely aspects on a nice moon in Leo joined Uranus at the last closing aspect. And Matt and Allison met 7 years ago, Saturn cycle, when he crashed a cast party that she was in, the play of, at Yale, when they were both students at Yale. So now 7 years later, as Saturn would ask, time for a commitment, and they got married. And it was a lovely wedding. It was full of laughter and love, and realizing how long I've known all these people that are part of my extended family and tribe, 35 years, 36 years in the case of Julie, his mom, and of course Matthew's 27, so 27 years in the case of Matthew and 22 in the case of his younger brother, Dylan, who gave a most beautiful, beautiful wedding toast. So filled with lots of love and happiness and joy and all that kind of cool stuff on this lovely Leo moon that we have tonight. I'm broadcasting here a little late, but still good. We have a busy week ahead of us as we're going towards a new moon. We're waning, W-A-N-N-I-N-G, meaning getting smaller and smaller. And there's going to be a new moon next Sunday on October 30th at 7 degrees 44 minutes of Scorpio at 1:38 in the afternoon Eastern time. So when we're in the full to new section, we release and let things go. We finish things up. We wrap things up. And this week does have a little bit of a wrap-up energy. Last week we had the debate as Mars and Pluto met on Wednesday. This week we have Mars coming to square Uranus and Eris. And Uranus and Eris and Pluto were all squaring, well, actually Uranus and Pluto were squaring each other for seven times. And Mars now carries the energy from his conjunction to Pluto, which happened on Wednesday, to Eris, Aries, which is an opening square. So whatever happened last week, you're going to now go, okay, this is how I have to change and go forward and do it. So it's an interesting week because it's a lot about seeing things you hadn't seen before or making resolutions about things. And similar, you know, we've been having this with the eclipses, but the Mars-Pluto met on the degree of the Mercury station. Mercury stationed at 14 and Mars-Pluto met at 14. So they met in the trine to that Mercury station from Virgo, but they showed you things you hadn't seen last week, and now you've seen them. Once you see them, you can't go back. That's the way it works. Now you're going forward. And so this week, you're going to decide what to do about it. And then you're going to get it all ready for that lovely new moon in Scorpio where you're going to harness the passion and get going forward. Of course, this week, the sun went into Scorpio late, late on Saturday night, around 7:46 p.m. Eastern time, and it's in Scorpio for 30 days, so we're the intense part. We're coming up to Halloween, which is next week on the 31st, which is a cross quarter. That means we're halfway through the fall. How did that happen? I don't know, but it's also called Halloween. It's also called Hallows Day. It's also called Samhain, Samhain, some people say. But at any rate, it's the day when the veil between Earth and the other side is the least, the narrowest, the smallest. So it's also a good time to talk to the dead relatives, talk to the people that have passed over that you love, because this is a time when they can come and haunt your dreams or they can come and speak to you about things and what you need to do. So we were talking about that this afternoon over at Julie's house, and how, you know, the sensitivities. So just kind of be aware that this week, because we have the sun in Scorpio and because the veil between this world and the other is narrower, if you get visited in your dreams by your dead relatives, you know, listen to their messages, because this can be when they're trying to talk to you about stuff and give you a little extra insight. So the week, this week, of course, if we get our moon calendars out, get your pencils and papers, it's a busy week, especially Tuesday, the 25th, and the 29th, Saturday. The other days of the week are pretty easy, and you can get a lot done, but those are the days where you're going to really feel like you're hustling. So right now the moon is in Leo, today the 23rd of October, and it's the closing aspect is today, a trine, moon trine Uranus, a fire trine, 8:21 in the morning, Monday morning, Eastern time. And then it's void Monday morning until 11:16, actually it's void all day Monday, 8:21 until 11:16 p.m. So the moon's void all day Monday. And it has a trine, that closing trine of the moon trine Uranus, and it also has Mercury entering Scorpio that day. And it's going to Mercury is going to be in Scorpio from the Monday through the 12th of October. So Mercury in Scorpio makes our communications very intense, passionate. It makes us notice things we hadn't necessarily seen. It reveals secrets we didn't maybe know about. We find out about things that have been hidden. And, of course, Mercury in Scorpio, if you don't have to write it, don't write it. If you don't have to say it, don't say it. If you have to say it, nod your head instead of speaking words. You know, it's very much about keeping the communication close to the chest and not necessarily revealing your secrets. So people are going to be a little more shut down around their communication skills over the next few weeks. Because they're in Mercury's in Scorpio mode, it's kind of digging into the psychological things and trying to understand why we chose the way we chose. Of course, it's leaving Libra, which is all about relationships and partnerships and commitment, are now going into Scorpio, gives it an element of passion and, you know, suspicion, for lack of a better word. You know, you kind of go, you know, I don't know how I feel about that. But you have a feeling. So that's the Mercury shifting. And so that's important. We'll talk more about the aspects as we get later in the week. So anyway, we're on a moon goes into Virgo at 11:16 p.m. Eastern. And it's in Virgo Monday night late, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday. And it goes void at 2:33 on Wednesday the 26th with a trine to Mars, which is very productive. Moon in Earth, trining Mars in Earth, gets a lot accomplished. Moon is void Wednesday afternoon. And it goes into Libra on Thursday morning at 9:51. It's in Libra all day Thursday, all day Friday, and at 6:09, it goes void with a square to Mars. Okay, so the beginning part of the week is cooperation, collaboration, connecting. The back end part of the week is the Libra moon. And remember, now Mercury has gone into Scorpio, right? So he's a little more strategic about how he wants to communicate. And Venus is in Sag, and so she's a little more blunt in how she wants to communicate. So it's an interesting mix of whether it's going to be blunt or strategic, or perhaps both. And so you want to kind of watch what that energy feels like on Thursday and Friday. Moon goes void at 6:09 on Saturday morning, and it's void all day Saturday until 10:01 p.m., when it enters Scorpio, and it's in Scorpio for Halloween. So it's in Scorpio Saturday night from 10:01 on. It's in Scorpio on Sunday, the 30th, and then it's in Scorpio on Monday, the 31st, until 10:44 p.m., and the moon in Scorpio water sign goes void with a sextile to Mars earth sign. So very productive Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, watching for those void moons. Now, we don't stop working with void moons. There's a lot of controversy. Oh, my God, the moon's void. I shouldn't do this. We just took this whole trip that we had, the last trip we took off on a void moon because we left on the 17th and kind of roamed around California, four of us in a car, joined for part of it with another person, another fifth. And we just kind of worked with the energy being a little more kicked back, a little more laid back, a little more, well, that sounds good, but maybe we should change and do this instead. So there was a lot of adapting, a lot of shifting, it was fun, we had a wonderful time, but we also had this kind of flowy energy where it was like, hang on, you're not supposed to worry about how this works. You're supposed to kind of go with the flow and see what happens. And so that's really what the energy is about with a void moon. So it's not that you can't get things done, but I do encourage you to work on existing things, meaning something you've already started rather than beginning something new. So don't go buy for the refrigerator because you'll end up eating out that week. Don't do medical tests because you often have to redo them. But the things that you don't really want anything to happen, my astrology teacher always used to say, mail your taxes on a void moon because you don't want anything to come of it. You want them, you know, you get the proof of mailing, but you also really don't want them coming back and bothering you. So think of it as a time when the functioning of the world is a little bit pokey or a little weird or just a little off. You know, the cream's bad. And you go, you know, the cream's bad, but then you bring it up and you go, but I think I want to change for the lavender lemonade, you know, and that's okay. Or, you know, we had it for dinner while we were on the trip. So we really noticed the void moons on the trip. And we get to this restaurant, it looked really good. And three of the people ordered the halibut, which, of course, the late waitress came out and said, there's only one left. So one switched to a vegan burger and the other two shared it. And they both were like, yeah, it was kind of dry, you know. So it was kind of like a hint from the universe, maybe don't do the halibut. So you just kind of watch where the flow doesn't really flow. So it flows Monday it's void, but it's productive. Tuesday it's in Virgo, Wednesday it's in Virgo, productive, void from 2:33 on, void to Wednesday afternoon. Thursday, Friday, a little argumentative, void all day Saturday in an argumentative sign. Passive-aggressive, actually. Moon in Libra is a little more passive-aggressive. And then it goes into Scorpio, and Scorpio is passionate and intense, and that is that's going to be from 10 o'clock Saturday night, all day Sunday, all day Monday. So with the two void moons duly noted. Now, we're going to start having big void moons for a couple of reasons. We have a lot of planets in the early degrees, and so when the moon makes the last Ptolemaic aspect to the planets in the heavens, not counting the angles, counting the planets and not counting Chiron, for those of you who want to, it's just the big guys, we work with that energy. Okay, so the other thing we have this week is because we're wrapping up the Mars carrying the energy from Pluto to Uranus, the two of them were having a fight for 7 years. That was when Egypt fell apart, and there were seven squares, and then they kind of had their last square in March of 2015. So we have another last little kind of energy reminding us about the square, reminding us about the energy of it. And as Mars joined Pluto last Wednesday, this week he comes to square Uranus and Eris on early Saturday night, late Friday. So that means that Thursday, Friday, we'll be feeling the buildup of the Mars square Uranus, which is a desire to kind of blow things up a little. People are just going to be in a little bit of a mood to kind of go, you know, I'm not really happy with this. So just know that that's the energy. And they may not be direct about it either. They may be very passive-aggressive because the moon is in Libra. But what you want to watch for is, okay, you know, what are you actually saying to me here? You know, is it a yes or no? So earlier today we were discussing dinner and what to do for dinner. And I'm visiting in California, and my friend gets nervous before things, so I scheduled the back, you know, today to be the day that if she was up for it, you know, hang out with her. So she's the mother of the groom. So I said, so do you want to do dinner? Do you want us to go home? You know, what do you want us to do? And her cousin is there. And she kind of gave this non-answer, you know, for lack of, now, of course, she's the mother of the groom. She's busy as a bee and running around. And, you know, it's exhausting and all that stuff. 120 people at a wedding. And so I said to Barbara, did you know the answer? Did you understand what she wants? And Barbara was like, no, I didn't understand either. Because we both were kind of like, there wasn't really an answer. So we asked again. And then we got, well, you know, my brain's not working, which I totally get. So it's that kind of energy, the brain's not working, or the person's a little vague, or the person's just not 100% sure. So they answer kind of in a weird way. So what you want to do is just kind of circle back and ask again. Or soak her back and inquire a little bit about, well, what actually was that about? And then see, because of the dual nature of the energy right now, if it's okay, or they can answer it now, whereas before there was a story that if you didn't know the story, you wouldn't know the reaction, but if you know the story, then you know the reaction. So, like, if you know what's going on, you'll be able to read the reaction clearly. If you don't know what's going on, you're not going to be able to read it real well this week because it's going to be there, but it's not going to be concealed 100%, but it's going to be partially concealed. So your job is to go, so that wasn't really clear. Can I ask again? And they may not have the answer right now because we're going towards that new moon. And in the dark of the moon, it's a little hard to figure it out. So don't push for the answer. Just circle back and say, can I inquire? And if they go, no, you go, okay, fine. And then circle back when they maybe have a little more space. So kind of think of it as a circle back week. And in your own world, you work on your stuff. You know, your own stuff will be fine. It's all the stuff where you have to work with other people that perhaps can require a circle back or a let me check in again or, you know, let's think about it and get back to each other about it, doing it that way. Hopefully that made sense. Of course, I've got wedding brain too. And I didn't drink much at the wedding, but boy, it was really, you know, it was just wonderful music and dancing and singing. And, you know, I just find lately because I work so much at home alone, when I'm around people, it's an energetic pull, you know. So I had the conference the week before with a couple hundred people, and then I had the wedding with a couple hundred people, and I'm going to go home to take a vacation from my vacation, which is always a good thing. All right, so let's talk about the rest of the energy of the week. Sun is in Scorpio this week, goes from 0 to between 0 and 6. They're going to be aspected by the sun, and he's going to set them off in some way. Now, he's in Scorpio, which makes him passionate. He's answering to Mars in Capricorn, which makes him fierce. So this is a passionate, fierce energy of the sun right now. It's pretty clear about what it wants when it's clear. When it's not clear, it can be very ungiving of information. Again, the lack of clarity piece. Sun is quintile to Pluto on the 25th, which gives us a breakthrough and an understanding of things. He also is coming to combust Mercury on the 27th, which means Mercury and the Sun are going to meet because Mercury goes into Scorpio on the 24th. So when Mercury and the Sun meet, what we do is we really have a union of the two of them, and the two then say, okay, this is what I believe. The combust Mercury gives the Sun very much its opinions, and or it follows the opinions of the Sun. So this makes for people really getting into their opinions. And so it's not a good moon to argue with people on, or a sun date to argue with people, because a combust Mercury doesn't really think it's wrong. It thinks it's right. So you can agree to disagree, but if you want to argue or you push the argument, it can get a little heated pretty fast. So just be aware the arguing is just not useful this week. Trying to get people to change their mind, not useful this week, not going to happen. And you let it go and move on. Mercury is also parallel the sun, making it even a little more fierce. The sun is also parallel or joins to Black Moon Lilith, which is the whole issue of subservience energy on the 26th, on Wednesday the 26th. So watch for the issue of subservience, servants. You know, you're treating me like a servant. You're telling me what to do. That whole energy kind of rises up. Mercury this week changes signs. It goes into Scorpio, which we talked about a little bit. And he goes into Scorpio on Monday the 24th. So he runs from 27 Libra to 9 Scorpio. He's moving pretty fast. And he does join up with the sun and have a combust day, which kind of, that's on Thursday, the 27th. So Mercury, because he's going quickly, he is going to aspect some planets. He's going to have a little bit of an argument with Saturn on Monday night. Some authority figure is going to say, you know, you need to do this, or you're going to say it to yourself, you know, you need to do this, and you do. And even though Mercury might not want to, the whole idea of Mercury at 28 degrees of Libra, he triggers the energy from the fall of 82. And so you want to think back to what went on in the fall of 82 and say, yes, I don't want that to happen, therefore that means I need to change this. If you aren't that old, great. Skip that part. Mercury joins Scorpio on the 24th, which we talked about already. And then he's going to be quiet and silent and observing. Okay, so he really shifts his energy from little chatterbox Libra into more waitful watching.
He squares Vesta on the 25th, wanting to clear out the home and the hearth and kind of shift and adjust things. Great day to start a cleanse or to do a fasting thing this week. It started on the Virgo on the 25th or the 26th, because those are good 5 days to the new moon, which is good for you to release and detox and do that kind of thing. Excellent time for your fall detox if you haven't done it yet. Or your post-vacation detox, in my case, because I've been having a lot of fun with a lot of food. Mercury is quintile Pluto on the 26th. You get some really interesting information or an offer of something to do in the work environment. And, of course, he has a trine to Neptune on the 30th. Again, Mercury trining Neptune on the 30th of October, right on the day when the veil between the Earth and the faraway world of the past over has thinnest, makes this an excellent, excellent weekend for really communing with your soul, your spirit, your dead relatives, or your dead friends. So watch your dreams. They can be really populated with dead people, ghosts, or whatever you want to call them. And they can include Eleanor Roosevelt if you want her to come in too. So Venus is going from 6 Sag to 15 Sag, so she's pretty fast. She's in a fire sign. She's pretty feisty. She's answering to Jupiter and Libra, so the two of them are in what we call mutual reception, so they can swap places. Venus has an aspect with Uranus and Eris on the 24th, in which she kind of says, you know what? I don't really know that I want to do that anymore. And she kind of imagined Venus flouncing out the door with her, with a little shimmy and a shake in her hips. She went, I think I'm done. A little Scarlett O'Hara energy on the 24th with the Venusian energy around relationships or how we partner. Venus also squares Neptune on the 25th, which gives us a different energy of what the dream is. You know, we've been talking, or I've been nagging you about what your dream is. So I was having a conversation with a couple people at the wedding about what their new chapters were, their new dreams were. And one of them said, well, I've always worked in service. I've never really thought about what makes me happy. I'm like, I know. So what makes you happy? So Venus square Neptune is what makes you happy. What inspires you to leap out of bed in the morning and go do it, to have a good time? And then right after she squares the Neptune, first she flounces out the door because she doesn't want to do something. And then she goes, okay, now this is what I want to do. And then she squares the nodes of fate on the 27th, on Thursday. And she says, okay, this is the choices we face. And this is the direction I'm going to head in. So when Venus squares the nodes, we have a real strong energy around, oh, okay, choices to be made. Now, last week, Sun squared the nodes. And he pointed out to us, squared the nodes and pointed us to us our choice. And Saturn squared the nodes earlier in the month, which also, again, was our choice. So Venus is squaring the nodes and facing choices and making choices on the 27th. And then she goes forward to parallel Mars on the 27th. So she's highly charged and able to go. Not in a great position because the moon is going to square Mars, but she wants to get things accomplished. So proceed, but know that it may not work out quite the way you wanted. She joins with Saturn on the 29th, which is a big ending energy. Venus joins. Saturn happens once a year, but usually we make decisions about things we don't want to carry forward or we want to release. Again, this is a great week for detoxing if you haven't done your fall detox, because a lot of the energy is about, am I going to carry it with me or am I going to lay it down here? And then she has an aspect to the blind spot of Pluto on the 30th. So you can be visited by unexpected ghosts when that happens. Mars is a little quieter this week. He runs from 18 Capricorn to 22 Capricorn. Last week, he joined with Pluto on Wednesday during the debates. Mars-Pluto, this is war. And also there was a lot of bombing, and there was a missile filed on the ship in Hormuz, and there was a bunch of, you know, Mars-Pluto is a war aspect. Now, this week, he comes to Uranus and Eris on the 29th and 30th. And so he's carrying the energy from Pluto. Pluto is the planet of war. The 29th and 30th, so what are we going to do about it? On the 27th, he has an aspect to Chiron on Thursday, kind of suggesting that we want to kind of be conscious about what our emotional wounds are. And earlier on the 24th, we could have been a little blindsided by our wounds because Mars is in a blind spot aspect to Pallas Athena. So if we lay out the energy of the week, Mars gets a little blindsided on Monday. And then he kind of mulls over it, as Mars is prone to do. And then on the 27th, he decides to do something about it. But it's a passive-aggressive day. And Mars isn't a passive-aggressive kind of guy, and he's still out of bounds. Remember, he's about to come in, but he doesn't come into Halloween. And then on the 29th and 30th, he squares Uranus and Eris. So he has an outburst then, and he's crabby. And Mars is, you know, very strong in Cap. He's normally strategic, and he doesn't necessarily say what he thinks, but it doesn't mean he doesn't see it. Right? So that's the whole idea. You see it, but you have to think about, do you want to say it? And sometimes, you know, people go pick your battles. Sometimes you're like, nope, this is my battle. I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm cool with either. Just know that it is very strong energy, so you can get very strong reactions back. Jupiter is in conjunct Neptune. This happens once every 12 years. And that happens on the 23rd today, which is what's the dream? What's the vision? Where are we going? And again, the planets have been pushing you to come up with your vision of the dream. Jupiter runs from 9 Libra to 10:48 Libra, 10 degrees, 48 minutes of Libra this week, so it doesn't move too fast. Saturn's not doing much at all except talking to Lilith. And, you know, this is the whole thing about not wanting to be subservient. And Uranus is contra-parallel Uranus. Uranus is contra-parallel Lilith on the 25th. So there's a lot of energy around subservience and how you're supposed to behave versus what you really want to do. So you have to kind of think about that a bit this week. And it's not that there's a right or wrong. This is your life. You get to decide. So one of the things, you know, it's a simple example. We were at the wedding. Does she change, the bride change her name to be the groom's name? Well, she's studying Renaissance English, Renaissance literature. She's working on a PhD at UCLA. She's been published. So she's developed a professional reputation already during her master's and her undergrad. And if she changes it, you know, it kind of shifts stuff. So how does the priest introduce them? We'd like to introduce you to the married couple, Matthew and Allison, or Allison and Matthew. So no last names. You know they're married, but they're keeping their own. And understand what the subservience is in the sense of how I serve others, not necessarily being subservient. You know, it's like, how do I serve others? Because if you find that you're in a situation where you've been serving others, and you're not really in the mood to do it anymore, that's okay. That's Lilith. You know, you used to do this, but now you don't want to. Totally cool. A lot of that energy this week. I used to do that. I want to partner with it in a new way. I want to come up with a new way of seeing it. So in addition to Uranus aspecting Lilith, Neptune aspects Lilith, as does Pluto, as does Chiron, as does Vesta. That's a lot of Lilith. That's a lot of feminine saying, this is what I want, or this is what I don't want. So you want to kind of listen to that voice when someone goes, no, I don't want that. Or maybe they have trouble verbalizing what they want and they don't want. So they do it in kind of a passive-aggressive way. You can't really figure out what they're saying. Go back and ask. Pallas Athena is parallel Eris on the 26th. It helps you strategically to go back in and inquire. And basically what everybody wants is sovereignty, right? So Juno runs from 25 Scorpio to 27. Mother Creative Series runs from 27 to 26 of Aries. And the other planets are all kind of hanging out. So on that note, we're packing up one more week to register for the workshop I'm teaching in Vermont called Beth Shaw. Information available on my website. And also this week, in honor of the new moon on the next week on Sunday, I'm going to be doing a webinar during the week talking about that new moon and doing a new moon ritual. And you also can do one yourself, and I'll talk about the new moon next Sunday. So in the meantime, release, pay attention to where people are saying, I don't really know that I want to do that, in kind of a weird way, and let them off the hook. Tell them they don't have to do it. because that means you don't have to do stuff either. Take care. This is Ann Ortley signing off, wishing you a great week. Catch you next week at the regular time on Sunday, October 30th. Bye.